I'll just say this. Gen Z is so hungry for the real deal.
Yeah. Talk about that.
They need the real deal. They're searching for genuine worshipers who really believe what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And we're done with the fluff.
Yeah.
We're done with it. I'm so tired and sick of the fluff. We need to cut it out.
It's time to stand up and be counted in this generation.
I think we've made our battle flesh and blood. Our problem is spiritual.
The fact is that America is really at a crisis point.
God says you can either love the world or you can love God.
Pastors are presenting their audience with a playbook that's outside of scripture with a Christian label.
There's only one that can save America, and he's not sitting in the White House.
Welcome back to the One Hope for America podcast. My special guest is not really a guest here today. He is my right-hand man, personal assistant, armor bearer, whatever else you want to call yourself. Friend.
Yep.
Jordan Krieger.
Son.
Son, 100%.
Willing to fight and die for the Crandalls.
Come on. I feel it too.
Yep.
But we're going to have a conversation right now. If you're a leader watching this or wondering about how do we reach Gen Z? Who is Gen Z? What are they? You know, you've never known life outside of a screen. Technology, you grew up on it all, right?
Yep.
Like, I saw a meme last night that said, when I was a kid, I read the cereal box when I was eating cereal. I didn't have anything else to read. That was my stuff. And so, so I'm super excited to just connect and just talk about your generation,
yes.
but who you are too. I think people need to know who you are. Jordan Krieger is the life of any party you will go to.
And,
turn up. But you're amazing. I mean, you interned for my wife and he won. I'm going to brag on him. He's going to hate this, but he won the Bill B. Johnson Award. For basically what that is like in the third year class out of how many students, 300 students or so, he was nominated as like the person who demonstrated the culture the most in his class. And he stood up and he preached the greatest.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
For that award I've ever seen. It was awesome. You made people uncomfortable.
Amen.
As you preached the gospel, you said Buddha's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
Jesus is alive.
He's so dead in the ground that it's embarrassing. Muhammad, yeah.
He's dead too.
I don't want to get going, but you know, Tom, it's
not
going to
take much.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, so, but you grew up, you know, going to Willow Creek Saddleback Church, Willow Creek Church out there in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, strung out on drugs as a teenager, right?
Yeah, I liked to party, but I like to just tell people I was a knucklehead.
Yeah,
I was a super knucklehead, and wasn't living for God, you know, and just teeter tottering on, you know, what am I doing with my life? 14, 15 years old, and so yeah, I went down that path, and it was no good.
No good.
No good.
And then how did you get saved? How did you encounter God?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to give a huge shout out to my youth pastor. Guys, youth pastors change the world.
Yes.
And, you know, my youth pastor, Pat Brennan, one of the greatest heroes in my life, you know, it was kind of like, what moment was it?
Mm.
He just kept pouring love into me.
Wow.
And so there was a moment I came to the end of myself throughout this phase, you know. And I came to the end of myself. I couldn't live that way anymore.
Mm.
And I finally said, all right, I'm in. I can't live this way. I'm in towards the gospel.
Wow.
I put my whole, all eggs in that basket.
Yeah.
Because I was all the way the other way.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm going all the way in. And so, 16 years old, I was smoking weed at my grandpa's funeral. And my parents caught me. And, you know, Patty and Brick, they caught me. And it was that moment. I mean, they kind of already knew everything was going on. I mean, my parents, you know, I woke up in the hospital one time and they I mean, we have lots of stories, but mm-hmm. just a knucklehead. Mm-hmm. But at that moment, 16 years old, I said, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Not just physically, but just emotionally, spiritually. Yeah. Everything inside of me was dying. And so, you know, I decided I'm all in towards Christ. And I told my youth pastor, Pat, and, you know, really it was the demonstration of Pat loving me. And, you know, youngest of five, I didn't ever had a ride anywhere. I was hopping rides all the time. And so Pat's like, I want you to come to youth group. I said, I don't have a ride. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll pick you up. I was like, wow, what the heck? And every week for 4 years, he picked me up.
Dang.
Once in a while, we go into Starbucks, give me his coffee. And then at the end of youth group, I said, Tom, I don't have a ride home. He's like, I'll give you a ride home.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And so really a lot of my story is just the love from my youth pastor changed my whole life. And I got an encounter with God when I was 16 years old that I felt God's liquid love. And from that moment, I said, I'm never going to do this again. I'm all the way in towards the gospel. Wow. And I prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, at the young mind I had, I said, Lord, I want to be a martyr for the gospel. I'm all the way in.
Wow.
And so, you know, that led me to where I am today, just burning for God.
And then you went to YWAM.
Yep. So then
he was crazy YWAMer.
Yeah. 18 years old, I said, you know, when I prayed that prayer, I was all in. I was serious. And so I did the only missions organization I knew was because my older sister was a part of it. So I went to YWAM for 4 years.
In Australia. New Zealand.
I went all over the world preaching the gospel in Africa and Uganda.
You've done crusades twice in Pakistan.
Three times. Yeah.
Preaching to crowds of
thousands.
50,000.
Yeah. The largest event we did was 275,000 people.
Pakistanis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, incredible. Muslims.
Were you ever afraid to die?
I was. There was only one moment it hit me, and it was when I was in the airport in Dubai, and my team dispersed. We were all kind of getting our own lunch, and I went to the gate early. And we went to this gate, and all of a sudden, I was the only white guy. And all of these people, most of them Muslim, with, you know, all the head coverings, and all of a sudden, they came up to me one at a time. They said, you know, you go to Pakistan? And I said, yeah, I'm going. And they'd go back, and they'd talk with their family, and then someone else would come, like, are you sure you come to Pakistan? And I said, yeah, I'm going.
How old
it
were
was
you?
Just me, 19 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was freaking out. It hit me. I started sweating. I'm sitting in my seat. These people keep talking to me. And I'm like, I could actually die here. Like, listen, that prayer was in a nice, comforting, you know, setting. And now I'm actually living it. And it freaked me out. But I came back to that. God, I'm all in. No matter what, I'm living this thing.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then through that journey, you know, 4 years in YWAM, I ended up here at Bethel, BSSM, just needed a little bit more of God. A lot of my story is I read a book by Wendy and Steve Backlund, Victorious Motions, and that I just following my older sister, she was in BSSM, and so that's how I came here to Bethel. And
it's amazing.
Yeah, a bit of my story.
It's amazing. Yeah. I've gotten to know you personally a lot over this last year, and you are truly an amazing human being. I mean, a man of deep conviction who's followed it, who's put it all to the, you put your life on the line that others can hear about Jesus. I mean, you're living it. You've been living
it.
And so I'm proud of you. I'm proud to have you on my team and honored.
Grateful to be here.
And so, yeah. Well, how do we, you know, I mean, are you seeing God do this in your generation? Are you seeing him do this in Gen Z? I mean, like,
you know, I really believe he is. You know, my generation, even though I'm on the late end of Gen Z, I still, like I said, grew up with a screen. But I'll just say this, Gen Z is so hungry for the real deal.
Yeah. Talk about that. Come on.
They need the real deal. They're searching for genuine worshipers who really believe what they say. And we're done with the fluff.
Yeah.
we're done with it. I'm so tired and sick of the fluff. We need to cut it out.
Because your generation, you're raised on a screen. You got your first iPhone in high school, you said earlier.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you guys have, people look at Gen Z and think, yeah, I can't speak for everyone, but I would think a lot of people would say they're, you know, they're raised on fake, which is why maybe there's such a counter hunger for real.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
That's real. I mean, man, just, I'll never forget, you know, when my family helped me build my first MySpace page. Just so young.
Uh-huh.
And I got exposed to, you know, the internet.
Yeah.
And I just realized over time and time again how fake this really is. I mean, just even what a filter is. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to put a filter on our face?
Mm-hmm.
And so you do that for years and years and years, and you get sick of it.
Mm.
And I'll just say now, if there's anybody out there who's saying, oh, I love all the screens up, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lie. Mm-hmm. I know there is more out there. And so anyways, we're all just seeking truth. It's what it is. And so you want to reach Gen Z, you have to be genuine. Like, even just in me searching out truth, like, man, I want to know about the deepest stuff about you.
Yeah.
As a leader and pastor, I mean, even with you, Tom, I mean,
yeah.
stuff I've asked about your life. Like,
uh-huh. yeah.
what's your marriage like?
Yeah, totally.
Like,
how do you talk to your wife?
How do you work? Yeah. How do you talk argue? To your wife? How do you talk to your kids?
Yeah, totally.
You know? Like, I want to get in there
uh-huh.
and see who's the real Tom Crandall.
Yes.
You know? And that's the same thing I believe Gen Z's looking for.
Yes.
Who's the real? Okay, you're a pastor. You have influence. You have an Instagram.
Why?
What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, who's right. the real person inside there?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're just hungry. And how to do that, I believe, is by living it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, who cares about a message?
Right.
Are you going on the streets and telling people, like, are you witnessing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you witnessing to people? Are you living a life of worship? What's your quiet time life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's it like? That's the questions I'm asking.
This is what all of Gen Z, you yeah. feel like, is looking at the Gen Xers or even millennials or boomers
yeah.
and asking, is this true?
I can't speak for all Gen Z. I'm telling you about me. I can't tell you about everyone, but this is me and my life for someone who grew up with screens,
mm-hmm.
with Instagram, with Facebook, you know, with comment sections.
Yeah.
And we're like, I'm done with that. I want to know,
what's
what
real?
Do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
What's the real deal? So
mm-hmm.
we're hungry for it. And I can't live a life that's fake anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of my generation is feeling the same thing. Like
mm-hmm.
there's a point where it's like, I'm done with all social media.
Yeah.
Like I could throw out my Instagram today, my Facebook, because I'm so sick and tired of all the fluff, all the junk. And people are asking, what's really true?
Mm-hmm.
What's really true?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the questions that I'm asking, and this is what led me down this path with God is I want the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about I grew up in a non-denominational church. I love my church. I got saved with my church. But there is a seeker-friendly element to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll never forget asking questions like, hey, I'm reading my Bible,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, casting out demons, healing the sick,
mm-hmm.
Encounters with God, mm-hmm. visions. I'm mm-hmm. like, man, am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not seeing this now.
Mm.
And so that's what led me on this journey with God. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
I gave my life to Christ 16 years old, and I just said, I'm living this way. I'm yeah. going to do it.
Yeah.
And I just started knocking on doors
mm-hmm.
In my neighborhood. I started doing prayer walks.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't. This is the real deal.
Yep.
I feel the Holy Spirit on it. And so
I think you're hitting something there. That, I mean, the human heart craves real. And when it's been fed fake for so many years and it's yeah. raised on fake,
yeah.
it abhors fake. And I think that's what's happening in your generation.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I've had the privilege of knowing quite a few Gen Zers. And y'all, one thing you all do, if you have access, is you will get in my face and ask me a million questions on why.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the millennials, and it's definitely yeah. not Gen X.
Because you would never do that.
I wouldn't.
Maybe in your day.
I don't know that I would have had the option to. I wanted to.
Yeah.
Maybe. But and I have some.
Right.
But just like, you
to
know.
To the level.
It's a new level. There's
yeah.
a you know, I want to know what's real. And it's awesome. I love it. And it also, I think what it also speaks to in your generation is, and I've had conversations with Benjamin about this, is there is an acceleration happening on the earth today in the kingdom of God. I look back 20, 25 years ago to when I got saved. And what was available for me to walk in, it's always been there because it's the word of God, the kingdom of God, and it never changes. But the access to the reality of walking in, like, let's just say signs and wonders, or an understanding of identity, or even like fivefold, it wasn't available. I didn't see it. It was always in the word, in the Bible, but it wasn't like I saw demonstrations of it around me. And today, your generation, with what God is doing in the kingdom, it's not just in fingertips. You're being provoked and trained to walk in all of it. And so what you know right now in your mid-20s, I did not know or understand till my mid-30s. Yeah. And so there is an acceleration happening in the body of Christ. And I think Gen Z, God is giving the baton to Gen Z. To run with it. Yep. And I think we're going to see mighty deliverers raised up in your generation. I think you're one of them. Yeah, that's going to rise up and carry the torch. You're definitely one of them. Yeah. And
I see it.
Yeah.
I see it all around me. I mean obviously I see it so often because we're in Bethel, we're in BSSM, and this, you know, culture brings all of the hungry ones.
Right.
And so you see people that are like, I want to die for the gospel. Mm-hmm. I want to pray and fast. I want to hit the streets because young people are so after the real deal today.
Yeah.
They're after the realness.
Yeah.
They want to be
Tell
really
me the truth. They want to know what's the truth.
Tell me the truth.
So what would you say to leaders right now that are watching this? They're afraid of being too truthful. You know, or you know, and you want to know the truth on the hot topics.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Tell me what's the truth on sexuality.
Totally.
On transgenderism, on abortion. You want to know, like, tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Right? That's your generation.
Totally. I would just say this. Here's an interesting observation about my generation. Even I see memes about it.
Uh-huh.
Of how people start podcasts all the time.
Yeah.
Younger people like me. Who are like, we're gonna talk about all the hard stuff, all the crazy things no one wants to talk about, all young people. And it's just such evidence that, like we've already been talking about, that young people want the real deal. They wanna talk about the hardest things. They wanna know even, what's your sex life like?
Mm-hmm.
What do you believe in conspiracy theories? You know? I mean, I see so many people, young people my age, starting podcasts because they just want to talk about this stuff. And so if you're a leader and you want to reach Gen Z, I'm going to say something blunt.
Do it.
You need to talk about your sex life.
Wow.
You need to talk about what's it like talking with your wife? What's your quiet time like? What do you believe about these topics?
Mm.
What do you believe about abortion?
Mm-hmm.
What do you believe about, you know, what's your political beliefs?
Yeah.
So I'd say two things to a leader who wants to reach Gen Z. Be the real deal. Be real, be authentic, be genuine, talk about these things. And two, I just have to say this, you got to practice brave communication because you're going to have these, be honest and real and genuine, and people are going to have other beliefs. And so being able to balance, like, hey, can I, asking these intentional, powerful questions, hey, can I just check, like, are we allowed to have different beliefs?
Mm.
You know? Am I allowed to have a different belief than you and still love you and still run with you?
Wow.
And still walk alongside you in life?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it we're just separating ourselves?
Mm.
And so be blunt, be real, be honest. Say, this is who I am. This is what I believe. And still say, but I still love you if you believe something else.
Yeah.
And we're going to walk on this, you know, life together with Christ. That's what I think Gen Z needs.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's why I say those two things. I mean, just be real. And be able to have honest, like, still tender. Because one thing that I've noticed, and this, I don't even know if this is just my generation, but this is maybe in the past too. But if you have a different belief, whoosh, I mean, that's where our culture came up with cancel culture.
Yeah.
You believe something else, psh, cancel them, don't support them, don't buy anything from them, don't block them, report them. And, you know, I just want to say, hey, I believe something different, but I still love you. I'm still going to champion you. I'm going to see the gold in you. And that's this journey of sanctification, right? We're growing in Christ. I believe a lot less lies than I used to. And so, yeah.
That's good. It's powerful. Yeah, I mean, like, you provoked a lot of thoughts right there for my generation. And it was really good, you know, and it's just kind of like, what do we talk about? You know, what do you need from my generation or even older than me? Man. What does Gen Z need?
You know, in the words of Tom and Leslie Crandall, you know, Leslie always says this, in first year, we're really just reparenting. We just need, you know, your generation to stand up as a mother and father and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm underneath you, and you're pastoring me, and you know, I'm talking to pastors and leaders. I want you to say, hey, here's what I believe, and you need to walk alongside this too, because this is what's good. And you, really, we just need a dad.
We need parents.
We just need parents to say, hey, that stuff is actually not good for you, and I love you too much, and I'm going to still love you if you go down that route. Like, for example, I mean, this is a super big, prevalent for us today, but like homosexuality. Hey, I have so many people that have come out
as friends of yours,
friends, and who I've called. I've been like, hey, listen, I love you too much to not let you be deceived. I just have to tell you, you're my friend and I love you, but this is wrong. This is wrong. Someone I did recently, I called them on the phone and I told them, and they said, you know, no one has really called me and told me.
Wow.
You know, I mean, there was two other, me and one other person called them. And it's like, we need a mother and father to tell us, hey, listen, this is not right.
Yeah.
And also champion us and be like, you're doing great. Like I said, it's just a mother and a father.
Yeah.
It's not, it's so simple. It's not complicated.
Totally.
If your generation stands up and says, I'm going to be a mother and father, I believe Gen Z will be saved.
Yeah, that's good. Well, what fathers do is they protect and empower. And, you know, like, I'll just push back on something you said a minute ago. I need to know about your sex life.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, we've had lots of conversations about around sex and and what healthy looks like. And so as a dad, I come along and say, well, I'm not going to talk to you about my sex life and like, what we do.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't be healthy, you know?
Right.
But, like, we can talk about what a healthy sex life looks like.
Yeah.
And talk about what an unhealthy sex life looks like.
Yeah.
Looks like. And, like, my generation, bro, you had, like, maybe one or two books when I got married that you could read. And nobody was talking about it. And I'm like, does anybody around here have sex? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Just like, you know, you're kind of like, everybody's like, go figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, your generation is just not going to tolerate it. And I think it's good because it's a really big deal. There are three make or breaks that I've said it before. And I learned this from a guy named Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole. He was the father of the Promise Keepers movement back in the day. There are three make or breaks. He wrote a book on it in marriage: communication, sex, and money. And all couples will either unite or divide over one of those three things. Those are the three struggle points in marriage. But then I learned from Danny Silk, an overarching thought on those three is the power of connection. And if you can learn how to foster healthy connection in a marriage, when you're disconnected in marriage, one of those three issues, when you're disconnected, you know, you're left to an assumption of knowledge. That's where you're assuming about each other, and it's the worst form of knowledge you can act on. But when you're connected, you see the person's heart. You know what's going on, and anxiety goes down. And so, you know, like you know, when it comes to talking about sex, it's just like, man, we Barry and Lori Burns in our environment have, I mean, they've been, when they share testimonies, everybody turns red. In staff meeting. And I think it's so good for our day we're living in, because we live in such a over-sexualized culture that people are wondering what's real.
What is real?
Because, I mean, nowadays, porn is so accessible, you know, and it's just kind of like, you can be hooked on porn for years, yet not feel close to anyone. Yeah. And it's because porn doesn't, I heard somebody say it like this, porn promises to produce something only prayer can, intimacy, but it produces bondage, not intimacy. And so your generation has full-on access to pornography.
Oh, man.
At all times.
All times.
When I was a kid, I had to go find a magazine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's just like, if we're not talking about sex, and we're not talking about what healthy sex looks like, and where, and you know, connection,
yeah,
and God's design for marriage,
yeah,
then we're not actually discipling people.
Yeah.
This generation. Would you say that's true with your generation?
Oh, man. If you're not... If you're a leader and you're not talking about these things,
yes,
you're not discipling them. I don't think you are.
They're getting, but you're getting discipled, yeah, from somewhere else.
You're getting discipled somewhere else, and not in a good way.
Yeah,
you know, if and that's why I talk about these things. These sometimes that are, you know, sometimes awkward topics,
mm-hmm,
but it's because our generation needs it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear these things
because mm-hmm,
we're either being discipled by you or somewhere else,
mm-hmm,
and we're gonna get our information from TikTok. Or from a mother and a father.
Yeah.
And it's just real. We need more mothers and fathers. We need them to stand up, talk about these things, and in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
you know, don't go off sharing your whole, like, you know, just in the same way we talk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I learned from Bill and Chris years ago, especially when it comes to talking to sex about sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I have two kids that are older, you know, and we've had lots of conversations and stuff, is... Jesus is the cornerstone. And a cornerstone, my father-in-law is a builder. You place a cornerstone, and then every brick is laid off of that cornerstone to create straight lines. And so it's cornerstone thought that gets imparted into the next generation is how they shape the lines off of their life. It's also called the law of first mention.
Yeah.
And when, as parents, when we are the first ones to talk about sex to our kids, then they have something to judge their thoughts off of based off that moment. But the problem is we have today is we have a lot of kids growing up who don't, their law of first mention was some slimy thing on TikTok.
Oh, man.
Or some YouTuber saying you can choose your gender. And I'd be as bold to say right now to parents and leaders, if you're not talking, having active conversations with your kids about what healthy sexuality looks like and about the brokenness of homosexuality and transgenderism and all that stuff, if you're not talking about it, YouTube is,
yep,
TikTok is, you can put your kids in a bomb shelter. They're still hearing about it in today's generation.
It's so real.
And
it's so real.
As a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for 20 years, 26 years, almost around 26 years, I think it was, 26 years in total.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
You've seen it firsthand.
I've seen
it. You know.
I know.
You know.
You cannot put enough...
Yeah.
Blockers and filters on your kids' software to protect them. It is the Holy Spirit and relationship,
yep,
and their passion for purity that protects a person.
It's 100% real. And we're, you know,
yeah,
we need to be doing this. I'll just say this, is that I'm so tired of political answers.
Mm.
I'd rather you tell me what you honestly believe and say I'm still on a journey with understanding this rather than you give me some political answer.
That's so good.
On parenting. You know, like,
yeah,
on parenting, on discipleship, on, mm-hmm, raising up the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, whether it is that topic of sex or evangelism or anything, signs and wonders and,
mm-hmm,
miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you just been blunt and told me.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Or, you know what, to be honest, I mean, I know you don't believe this, but these are things I've heard in the past,
mm-hmm,
from other leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, to be honest, I'd rather you say to me, yeah, I don't really believe in signs and wonders.
Mm.
I don't know. I just feel this is what I believe. This is my conviction. This is, mm-hmm, what I think the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Those are things I've heard.
Mm.
Rather than, well, you know, some people think this and some people think that. No, what do you believe? You know, that's what we need. That's what we need.
That's so good. All right, well, then you just said something. Let's talk about politics. Now it's going to get fiery.
All right.
We've got just a few more minutes here.
Yeah.
You said, don't give me a political answer. You didn't mean politics by that. But
yeah,
your generation wants to know what's true, mm-hmm, what's real. And if you want to find what's true, you can't just believe headlines you see on a news clipping.
Totally.
You know? So, I mean, like, what's your generation think when you look at political stuff going on in America?
Yeah, I mean, here's why it's hard to say, because I feel like my generation sees one title from some blog and runs with it. And next thing you know, you're getting caught in this web of lies, all because of one title you read on Facebook, and you didn't read the article. It doesn't even have quotes from the person. Like, so that's why there's such a division, and people are so passionate about it.
Yeah,
because their whole world is seeing. I mean, you guys, you know this. Mm-hmm. Your algorithm on your phone will be in whatever you're believing in.
Yeah,
you know. Oh, you keep watching. I mean, they're watching how long. This is crazy. How long you sit on that post, they'll end up sending you more ads for and more posts about. And so you're just in this bubble. You're in this bubble, and it's just real. I mean, for example, me, it's so hard for me to believe anything on the internet. Anything. I have to do. I'll give you an example. I know this is a very hot topic right now, but Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, talk about it.
I've been like, I have no idea what to believe.
Okay.
I'm seeing passionate people on both sides screaming, yelling at each other.
Uh-huh.
And what I've had to do is I've watched so much stuff educational on both sides, and I have to come up with my own conclusion and go, okay, here's what I believe.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes nowadays. It takes an extreme amount of effort, intentionality, energy for you to come up with your own conclusion. But it's the only way to live. You know, you can't be just going on reading, being tossed and swayed by every political post you see. And so that's why, you know, I believe, you know, personally why, you know, don't have to go too deep into Donald Trump. But, you know, this is why people were kind of loved Trump, is because he said, I'm done with all this junk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drain the swamp.
Yeah.
Here's what I believe.
Here's the truth.
I'm not a politician. You know, and, you know, obviously America loved it and ate it up, because he was just the real deal. And he never apologized for being who he is.
Yeah.
You know, and man, I just wish more people would do that. I wish more people, not just Trump, I don't want to make it political, but pastors would say, this is who I am. This is what I believe. This is what I'm going after.
That's what Gen Z is craving.
That's what we're craving. That's what I'm craving. Wow. You know, obviously, that's why I'm following you, Tom, because you just live that way. This is what I believe, and I'm going after it. This is what the Crandalls live by.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of political answers, and not just in politics, but spiritually. I'm tired of spiritually political answers everywhere
I go. You want the truth.
I want the real deal.
You want the real deal.
Yep.
That's good. I love it. That's good.
Yeah. Praise God. I mean, I don't want to go too deep into this, but
you're
I want to ask, I mean, what do you feel like you're seeing from Gen Z, and what are you believing for in Gen Z? I mean, you've pastored. You've been a youth pastor for ages.
Yeah.
You know, and now you're stepping into you know, evangelism at Bethel, and you're reading, how do I reach evangelism? How do I reach my community? How do I reach the younger generation? What do you think from your perspective that Gen Z needs? I mean, I told you mine, but what do you think?
Yeah, so I heard a phrase came out of me years ago in regards to this. What we believe about the next generation is what we will see in the next generation. I'm believing for good things. And, you know, a lot of people, I've seen this throughout the ages. The older generation always looks at the younger generation and says, there's no hope for them. They're lazy, blah, 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 all this stuff. And it's true. There are certain dynamics your generation is facing that my generation didn't face, you know. But the truth is, human beings are the same in every generation. They want what's real. They want what's true. They want to know where can they go to feel unconditional love, and to feel close, and to be known, and what's their value. And that only comes in the reality of who God is, what's true, what is real. And you have to be willing to say the tough things. A couple of years ago at our youth conference, I preached the gospel one afternoon, talked about what the cross is, and how the cross sets you free from everything. And I said the words, you know, God wants to set you free from same-sex attraction in the room. You could feel the atmosphere get tight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could feel people are like, I can't believe he's saying this. Yeah. And I'm like, well, believe it. Here it comes. And I just went after it and talked about the cross and how God wants to, the cross, the revelation of Jesus and the cross and the gospel changes the identity of a person. And today we believe we are what we feel, and that's my truth. Yeah. And it's dangerous because, you know, if I followed all my feelings all the time, I mean, I'd be all over the place. And so your feelings are not the highest level of barometer of truth. Mm-hmm. So I confronted same-sex attraction and said, if you're battling that, there's no condemnation. God loves you, and he put his son on the cross to die in your place to set you free from that temptation. And kids stood up and prayed and got free. And one young man who's on staff at Bethel walked up to me afterwards and said, I want to thank you for talking about that. I said, really? Why? And he said, because that was my story growing up as a kid, and nobody ever talked about it in church. Wow. And I wondered if somebody would have talked about it, if my story would have looked different. And you have enough moments like that,
yeah,
where it just makes you a little bit crazy as a preacher,
yeah,
where you're just like, I just don't care what anybody else thinks.
Exactly.
You know what? Throw rocks at me. That's fine. I'm not going to stand before you on Judgment Day. I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to love these people, which, yeah, looks like telling them the truth,
yep,
the truth in love that sets people free.
Yep.
And so what I feel like your generation needs is the authentic gospel.
That's so good.
And the power of God. And unconditional love.
Yeah.
You know, I'll accept you no matter who you are. You come in as a man dressed like a woman, I'll love you and accept you for who you are. But the love of God and the power of God will be so strong, it will not leave you sitting there in your chair the same person. You that's will walk right away different.
And that's exactly what,
yeah,
you know, I just believe our generation needs to hear. Mm. Hey, I love you unconditionally, but I love you too much to not tell you.
Yeah.
I love you unconditionally, no matter what. I'm going to love you if you're a frog.
You identify as a zebra.
You know? But I love you too much to not tell you that this is wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what a healthy parent does, is they tell you, hey, I love you too much, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And we need to get out of this.
So good.
You know?
Ah, so good.
Yeah.
All right, awful. Jordan, I love you.
Thank you.
Go get some stuff done. We got another one here happening. So if people follow Jordan Krieger, Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
You don't have to follow me.
I want you to.
Jordan Krieger with the C.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. If you're a leader, be authentic.
Yep.
And unconditionally love.
Yeah. That's so good. And if you want to, if you're interested in a One Hope for America event in your city or whatever, Jordan's the one you're going to talk to, and our team. So, yeah. Love you guys.